everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys.
The website is DallasHoopsCast.com. I'm on Twitter at _SydneyMyers, or you can follow the site at DallasHoopsCast. Speaking of the website, I did want to let you guys know I recently published an article that addresses the whole Mavs not being on TV thing. You probably know that almost every single TV provider has dropped Fox Sports Southwest, and it's super annoying. So I found every single TV provider and streaming service that carries Fox Sports Southwest. I made a whole list of all of them, plus the plans and the pricing and all of that. So that's an article on DallasHoopsCast.com. I hope it's helpful. I keep it updated so you know you're getting the best information. The whole TV thing is just ridiculous, and there's not even anything to say about it other than it's stupid, but hopefully that article is helpful.
And hopefully you pay and don't do it illegally.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too. There's a lot of... So that page has all of the legal ways to watch yes. Fox Sports Southwest, because obviously I'm not going to tell you how to do it illegally. But yeah, it's a crapshoot. So there you go. We have a lot of things to talk about. Preseason, some news with Josh Richardson, game predictions coming up, just a whole lot of stuff. Before we start, I just really quickly want to give a shout out to our YouTube audience. We're up to, like, I don't know, 450 subscribers, which I know is still kind of small, but it's a pretty awesome audience. There's really good conversations over there. So,
it grew really quickly.
Yeah, it's grown a lot faster. Than I thought it would. So if you listen to the episode and you want to share your comments or your thoughts, that's on YouTube. You can leave comments there. The channel is called Dallas Hoops Cast, so it's super easy to find. Plus, I break down each episode into short segments, so you don't have to watch the whole thing if you don't want to. So,
and if you don't like something I say, that's okay. Don't be mean about it.
Don't be a jerk about it.
If you disagree, you disagree, and that's perfectly fine by me. Some of you are very hurtful.
Well, we just ignore those because...
I've been dreaming about them.
Okay. All right, well, we'll move on from that. Okay, so let's do a game of Something, Nothing, or Everything, preseason edition. I'm going to cite a stat, and then you tell me if it's something, nothing, or everything.
Okay.
That's how it works.
All right.
A lot of the description is in the title of, like, the rules of how to play it, but I just want to make sure that you were clear.
Okay. I think we're clear.
So these are all stats from the preseason, not the season yet.
Okay. Okay. Now, are we... anticipating, okay, that if it's something, then it may impact the regular season. Yeah. If it's nothing, it's just
I think you're overthinking it.
All right.
Okay. So first, Josh Richardson made 62.5% of his shots in the preseason and 73% of his three-pointers. Something, nothing, or
it's
everything.
It's definitely, I would say it's everything. Obviously.
Wow, that's...
Well, obviously, okay. He's not going to average 62% from the field and 73% from three. But it just more shows that his percentages will be higher this year. It's, I think most people kind of anticipate his three-point percentages. He's going to have a career year there with that just because of the Mavs offense and playing with Luka. And the fact that in preseason it's already shown an impact, mm-hmm. although it's a small portion, it's already showing that playing in this system with Luka is going to impact his shooting.
So I think that explanation, I think it's something. It's not everything. Like, to me, everything would mean that he's going to do that for the rest of the season. I think it's something.
So something then.
Yeah,
yes.
But we'll see.
I think you're overthinking it.
Yeah, okay. So moral of the story is I'm right because it's something.
Wrong.
Yeah, okay. Next, Dorian Finney-Smith made 50% of his three-pointers on 4 attempts per game. So substantial, whatever you call it, data sample size.
Again, something. His three-point percentage has gone up every year.
Mm-hmm.
And to his credit, he works really hard at trying to be a really good three-point shooter. So I probably it will go up again if he continues to work hard. Eventually, he's going to become kind of a sniper from three, and he's going to get a little bit more attention.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then you might have a year or two where it kind of dips a little bit because teams are going to be closing in on him a lot quicker. You know, there's a difference from Dorian's 40% from three and Klay Thompson's 40% from three.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson is shooting with people in his face. Dorian's are wide open every time.
So I think it's also something, obviously he's not going to shoot 50%. But like you said, it's gone up every year. So His first season, he shot 29%, and then almost 30%, then 31%, and then last year, over 37%. So he might be 37%, 38%, 39% this year. Yeah. Also notable, his two-point percentage has gone up every year, too. So even though he has improved every single year, I know, you know, the improvement from 4 points to 9.5 points, you know, it's all relative, but his three-point shooting has improved. I expect it to at least stay the same, if not improve again.
Yeah,
this
and
year.
It shows just more why Carlisle likes him so much, because he does work really hard.
Yeah.
And it pays off.
He does actually get better.
In all honesty, he's a very limited offensive player. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's why they even drafted him. And he has worked on his offensive game in order to be relevant on the court when he's out there.
To keep his job.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, next. The Mavericks struggled against the size and length of the Bucks and the Timberwolves. Yeah. Something, nothing, or everything.
I think that is something, because their two guards coming off the bench are a little small.
Mm-hmm.
With Jalen Brunson and Trey Burke. They're both really good players, but they're just a little small. So when you play with teams with a little bit more length, they're going to struggle. That really kind of makes Luka your only playmaker again, which is what you're trying to avoid. You want some balance offensively. But if nobody else can score, then it just falls on Luka's shoulders. And the whole point of getting a secondary playmaker is so that way when it matters most and they don't have to rely just on Luka.
Yeah.
I think they also have a problem with their bigs. And we'll talk a little bit later
about...
The
Mavs have a problem with their own bigs?
Their own bigs. Okay. Yeah. And I know Porzingis has been out. That'll obviously help with their length. It'll also help spread the floor. So that way the other opposing team's length won't be as dominant as it was. But they have some holes on their roster.
Yeah, I think it's everything, because I think it's going to be a storyline throughout the year. And it was kind of a storyline last year. They struggled against really physical defensive teams. Now, if I'm being honest, most teams struggle against long, athletic, you know, teams that have a lot of length. Most teams struggle against those teams. That's why you want to build a team like that, because it makes it hard for the opponent. So even though I do think it's everything, you know, is this like, you know, the end of the road for them? No, I mean, I just think they're going to struggle against it because of what you said.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the Mavericks didn't really solve their physicality problem this offseason. I know they got James Johnson, and I'm a big James Johnson guy, but he's going to play 8 to 10 minutes. It's not like he's going to be a bruiser out there. He's not Dennis Rodman throwing people around or anything like that. So they didn't really solve that piece of it, in my opinion. They still lack strength and really size, like not height. They got a lot of height. They don't have a lot of
big,
girth, big guys.
Yeah, girth. Yeah. And another reason why I think it's going to be a big deal is because if you look at a lot of the top teams now, they have big guys. And we'll talk more about that whenever we get to, you know, later topics with talking about the Mavs bigs and who should start or not start. But I agree with you that I think it is something, and I think it's everything because of that. Okay, next. The Maxi Kleber led the Mavericks in plus minus with an average of plus 12.7.
Yeah, it's everything to me. And it's funny that's the next topic because, again, that's all going to go part of the starting lineup discussion, and I think that merits a long discussion, but I believe it's everything, and we'll talk a little bit more why I believe that.
Yeah, I agree. And it's piling up. Again, you know, we talked about the size. We're talking about Kleba. Like, so we'll all of this is piling up to a conclusion that, you know, everyone else agrees with you. But okay, next. The Mavericks were fourth in offensive rating, but 21st in defensive rating. Something, nothing, or everything.
Man, that's a tough one because they struggled so much on defense last year.
Yeah. And I know they wanted to improve it.
Mm-hmm. But it's preseason. Mm-hmm. So it's like how much do you want to overreact? I would say it may be something. Because there's some determining factors. Like Porzingis has been out, and so we've been forced to start Kapowell. And
I forgot we called him that. Kapowell.
And so he is not a very good defender. He's not a very good rim protector. He's not a very good rebounder. So that may have impacted it.
Mm-hmm.
Luka clearly had no interest on getting back on defense.
Yeah.
And I just don't think really anybody cared. I even watched Josh Richardson defensively, and I was not impressed. Like, I was like, guys are blowing right past him. Of course, the highlights I've seen, he didn't allow that to happen.
Yeah.
But I think maybe they just didn't take it as seriously as Carlisle was hoping. I don't know, but I think it might be something.
I think it's something because, if anything, in preseason, you would expect also the other team to struggle offensively, in which case that would help your defensive rating.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know. Another part of it is, again, we're piling on to that starting lineup issue.
Is
the starting lineup
Maxey,
issue.
Yeah. So I think that it is something, especially if they're going to start Dwight Powell. I know that Kristaps is out. I know it's preseason and all that. I'm not saying that they're not going to make any improvements defensively. I'm saying that it is something they might not be where they wanted to be or where they need to be in order to contend.
You still
want to
just take, well, they're not contending.
Yeah, and I don't expect them to be a contender.
We hope that they just take a step
forward. Okay, last three are about Luka. He shot 73% on free throws.
That's nothing. Look, I just think he's just going to be that kind of guy at the free throw line.
Not a good free throw shooter?
An average free throw shooter in the 70s for his career. And he may even have seasons where it's lower. That's just the way he is, you know. For free throws, you got to be focused.
Yeah.
And Luka, unfortunately, is just not always focused. He's not always engaged.
Yeah.
And I think that impacts his shooting. And even if that's not an accurate assessment of why he's not making them, I think it's just going to be something Mavs fans are going to have to live with. LeBron was never
a great free throw shooter.
It's hard to go from Dirk, where you knew his automatic,
yeah,
and set the record in the playoffs for free throw percentage, to a guy that 75% is terrible, when really that's an average free throw shooter.
Yeah, LeBron, he's kind of fluctuated, but his career average is 73%.
Yeah.
Dirk was automatic. That was one thing that made him so great. And not that free throws aren't important. I would love for Luka to get his percentage higher, but a lot of great players are not as good of free throw shooters as Dirk is.
Yeah.
And I hope that Luka improves it, but it could just be one of those things that he's just never a great free throw shooter.
Yeah.
Okay, next, Luka made only 31% of his three-pointers, something, nothing, or everything.
Again, I think it's nothing because...
You think he's bored?
I think this is just... No, I think this is who he is as a player. I love Luka. I think he's going to be the best player in the league, but he is not a shooter. I know people give him the credit for being a dead-eye three-point shooter and all those kind of things. Maybe it's because he's from Europe and they've never had a European come in and not be a dead-eye shooter. But he's not a shooter. He's a playmaker. He's a scorer. You know, he's a bucket getter.
Scorer.
He's a bucket getter. He's just not a shooter. So I think his three-point percentages are also going to be average to below average. Now, realistically, you'd like for them to be around 35%. Mm-hmm. And as he gets older, maybe that's the case, but...
Yeah, I mean, again, so I'm going to compare him to LeBron because he's also never been a great jump shooter, period, but, you know, specifically three-pointers. I mean, early in his career, he was 29, 33, 32, 31, and that was always a knock on him, is that he wasn't a good three-point shooter. But ever since 2011, which I cite 2011 all the time as, like, the year that changed LeBron, and it sounds self-serving because it's the Mavericks who beat him, but I really do think that was a major turning point for him. He shot 33% that season. The very next season, he shot 36%, and then 41%, and then 38%.
But you're talking about a guy now that's 31,
yeah,
32,
he was,
33
well, and by
old.
That time, he was 27. So,
yeah, so
I think he realized that he couldn't just say, like, I don't need to shoot three. He realized, like, I need to be able to shoot them. Now, he's not Klay Thompson, but he can make them now.
Yeah.
And I think Luka...
That's the good thing about Luka, though, is... He has that reputation already.
True.
So no one's going to leave him open.
No one even cares.
Yeah. Because
he's made
a
the
European.
Big ones.
And he's made the big one. So, but as far as his percentages, he's never going to be a 40% three-point shooter, in my opinion. But 35% would be great.
It's one of those things, like, again, I hope that he does work on it. It's so crucial. And LeBron didn't really become this LeBron until he was also a good three-point shooter.
But you're talking about LeBron at that point, I think, had already won four MVPs or something.
True. You know, I mean, Luka is 21. Yeah. Like I said, LeBron was 27 at that point. Like, I don't know if this is the year where we see that jump from Luka in that stat.
Yep.
Okay, last one. Luka got a technical foul in a preseason game.
Two of them.
Oh, two. Yeah.
He had two.
I forgot about the other one. Yeah.
It's... I don't know how I feel about this other than, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but I think we're just going to have to live with this.
Again.
Yes. This is not Dirk Nowitzki. It's just, he's not Dirk.
Yeah.
He is a typical franchise NBA player.
Hot shot guy.
I mean, the guy is, in his mind, he's royalty. From the age of 13, he's living in another state at a basketball camp.
Playing in
and
a
they're all massaging
league.
Him.
They recruited him. He's got ladies around him with palm branches.
Yes, exactly. I watched one video of him. I think he was like 14 years old. There were seven coaches or something around him, and they were doing a drill.
Yeah.
So in his mind, he was raised into royalty. So his brain is not the same as our brain. It's just not. And I know it's funny, but it's like we're peasants and he's a king. And so his arguing...
We're like ropes hanging off the Goodyear blimp.
Exactly. But I think this is just who he is. He's going to complain. What you don't want to see is the complaining causing a fast break bucket for the other team when it matters most.
Yeah.
And at least in the playoffs, it appeared it did not impact him. He was laser focused. Mm-hmm. He didn't allow anything to get in that way. That's what's important. But if it's, you know, game seven and he's complaining and not getting back on defense, that's a real problem.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's part of his personality. And I don't like it. I hate the complaining.
It's not even his fault.
I hate it. But at the same time, I don't think he's going to stop. And so it's kind of like the Dwight Powell thing I was talking the other day. I was like, maybe I'm just going to have to accept it and just stop thinking about it. You know,
Carlisle loves Powell.
So it's kind of the same thing with this. Like, I hate it, but I don't think it's going to stop. We talked in our last episode how we thought, like, man, Luka turned a corner. He realized, like, it don't matter if they call a foul or not. I can dominate. Apparently, he did not have that realization, and he's just still going to complain, and it is what it is. I mean, he's still an MVP candidate, so I can't complain. I feel like I can't complain because, I mean, I still want him. He still wins games.
He's still
games,
my favorite player.
So, yeah. Okay, so that's something nothing. What did we say about that one? It's nothing?
I didn't know how I felt.
It's
something, but at the same time, you're just going to have to get over it.
It's everything because I think it's going to continue, but also, I can't care about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's something, nothing, or everything. Let us know what you guys guessed or what you think for each one in the comments or on Twitter. Let's move on. We talked about how a lot of those points were culminating into a big thing. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk about who should start next to Kristaps. He's not here right now, but just when he comes back, should Dwight Powell start? Should
Dorian?
Maxie Kleber start? I know things. We've also on Twitter talked about non-Mavericks. Who should they trade for? So let's consider that question. What kind of player is the best fit next to Kristaps? I'm going to share what I think.
Okay.
Let me know if you agree with this. So I think that they want to play Kristaps as the pick and pop guy. I think they want two guys, a pick and roll and a pick and pop guy. I think they want Kristaps as the pick and pop guy. I've talked about in the past just because of injuries and play style and all that. So I think they want him to be that pop guy. So that means that they need a guy that can set good screens and roll to the rim and is athletic enough to finish those shots. I think that they also need a guy who is a versatile defender because I think Kristaps will play the five on defense. I don't know where he's going to start or whatever, but I think on defense he's going to play the five, which means that other guy has to be extremely versatile when guarding fours because he could be guarding Anthony Davis or he could be guarding Kawhi Leonard. And that's a wide range in terms of size and skill set. And so it's got to be a versatile defender that is big and tall, but not too big and tall, is mobile but not small. You know, that's a really unique player. And then I also think he needs to be able to shoot just because of the Mavericks system. I'm not saying he's got to be Dirk out there shooting threes, but I think he's got to be able to make a three-pointer when he gets it, when he's open.
So are you like reading a scout
no.
thing of Maxi Kleba?
That's my thing. Like, so does that, like, do you agree with that? That's the kind of player that needs to start next to Kristaps.
I agree on most of it other than the rolling aspect.
Okay,
okay. All right. I won't give my points.
I don't think that player as a roller needs to be, you know, Wilt Chamberlain or Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah. I'm just saying he needs to be able to set screens and roll and finish. Okay. We agree on that? On that whole description?
Okay. So again, on the rolling piece.
You don't think it's
for
as
me,
crucial?
It's not. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
At all? Like.
No, I think they can live without it. I think their offense was number one in the league without the great Capella.
Yeah, okay. So, but my thing is that I think they want that element.
I understand that they want it. And so. But in order for them. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, so like because they want it. It's just a fact. We're just going to have to accept that player is going to have to be able to do that.
Right. And so this is my problem with the whole starting lineup.
Okay. So before you go into that.
I'm heated here, okay? Okay. Let us get to these points.
Okay. So given that description, which current Maverick best fits that profile?
Before I said, in my opinion, it was James Johnson.
Your bold prediction was that he was going to start.
But I'm starting to lean more, especially the way he's played in preseason, that it would be Maxi Kleba.
Okay. Why do you feel that way, Martin?
So right now, I think we're all assuming that either Dorian or Dwight Powell is going to be starting with Porzingis. Now, whether that's the four or the five or whatever, who knows? We are all pretty confident that it's going to be Powell and Porzingis or Dorian and Porzingis.
Yes.
And so in this case, on defense, Porzingis will always be the five.
Yeah.
He will always be the rim protector.
Yeah.
On offense, he would be the four or the four spacer. I'm completely okay with that. So now the question is, who's going to be the four on defense?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're starting Dwight Powell, you have a problem.
We've already seen that. He is going
to
get
torched. So you're
going
to ask him to guard Anthony Davis one night, Kawhi Leonard the next?
Yeah.
Because you can't put Porzingis on Kawhi.
Yeah.
You can't put Josh Richardson and Tim Hardaway. I mean, I guess you could, but then you also have Paul George. You also have Marcus Morris. Somebody's got to guard these guys. So you need some versatility.
And that's just those two teams. Yeah. I mean, you've got.
What about Zion?
Zion, Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, it's just. It's so, those Karl are the
Anthony
bigs.
Karl-Anthony Towns killed Dwight.
Yeah.
In a preseason game, he thought he was, you know, at a Y.
Yeah,
out there
yeah,
playing.
It could be those guys, or it could, and it's like, okay, when Dwight Powell guards those guys, clearly doesn't have the size and strength for it, but he doesn't even add that other side of it to where it's like, okay, well, maybe he's mobile and athletic enough to guard a Kawhi or Paul George or a, you know, PJ Tucker or whatever. Like, he can't even guard, so he's really, he's in no man's land.
It's the same problem with Dorian. Dorian may be able to guard a wing, but he can't guard Anthony Davis. Yeah. So if you're starting Dorian at the four and Porzingis at the five, when you're playing the Lakers and you have Dorian guarding Anthony Davis, or you have Dorian guarding Kawhi, and with all due respect to Dorian, he's gotten killed by Kawhi, as a lot of players have.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't have the strength to stay with a Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to Maxi. Maxi, I don't see how Maxi is not the starting four.
Yeah.
Or five, whatever.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
but
and just, okay.
The big next to Porzingis.
Yeah, he is the best big. And then we can get into why it's not happening. But I mean, he is the best big to play next to Kristaps.
Yeah, because one night when you're playing the Lakers, you can put him on Anthony Davis. I'm not saying he's going to shut him down.
Yeah.
But he's going to provide the most resistance between Dorian and Dwight and Maxi. And then the other night, he will guard Kawhi Leonard. He's not going to shut him down, but he's going to provide the most resistance to him compared to Dwight. And then he can roll, because if the Mavericks feel like that's the most important aspect of their offense, is a guy rolling to the rim three times a game and getting a layup once out of those three, then okay, the Maxi can do that a little bit.
Yeah.
And he can also hit threes. Clearly they want Dwight Powell to shoot threes because he keeps doing it.
Yeah.
And he sucks at it. And So, but Maxey at least can hit those at a high rate.
Yeah, and like, again, I think that they want that guy to be a roller. So whether we think they need it or not, it's going to be a part of their offense. So that guy, and Maxey can do it. Now, I don't think he's as good as Dwight Powell at screening and rolling and finishing at the rim, either because of length or athleticism or height or whatever it is. I do think Dwight Powell is better at that. However, I don't think that is necessary. I don't think you need a guy who is a 100 at rolling and finishing in order to still have, well, just, you know, taking that out of it, but just in order to still have a very efficient offense. I think that you can lose that, have a guy like Maxey, gain all those things on defense, and still have a very good offense. Like, yes, you're losing a little bit from not having Dwight Powell, but I think it's fine.
Well, the biggest problem that everybody was talking about last year when Powell went out was how the Mavericks have the number one offense in the league when Powell's on the court. Then they all seem to forget that the Mavericks had the number one offense in the league when Dwight Powell was out of the game.
Was it number one, though? It might have been number one. Three.
Oh, yeah.
No, but that's the point.
It was the greatest offense in NBA history, with or without Powell. And you want to know why? Because Powell's not very good. The reason why the Mavericks' offense was so good is because they have a perennial
Luka Doncic.
Yeah, exactly.
And a really good system.
Exactly.
And good spacing, too.
They
with
have
all, the
all of that. So Dwight Powell was not the catalyst, was not the driving force behind
to
why
the Mavericks offense.
And I couldn't understand why people were. The guy averaged like 8 points and six rebounds, and they were acting like he was the driving force of their offense.
Okay, here's my thing about Dwight is like, I get his efficiency as a roller and a finisher, and I understand what that does for their offense and how that creates openings and gaps. And I get all of that. I'm not saying that he doesn't do those things. I'm not saying that he doesn't have the kind of impact that people say. I'm just saying that it's
not necessary.
How great is that impact and how necessary is it? And not to take it away completely. I'm just you could take it down a few notches,
but
and you'll still be great.
But in my opinion, the fact that he was out and it didn't impact their offense, it shows he had no impact on it. And so, he can roll to the rim.
That his impact could be replicated by a guy
another
like Maxey.
Another player.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah.
It easily can be replicated because Dwight Powell is not a starting player in this league. Like, and the fact that we have to convince people this fact...
Well, okay.
We have to convince people that Dwight Powell is not a starting player in the NBA.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to me.
Well, and okay, so here's the next point is a lot of Mavs fans, you know, we agree that Maxey is the best player to start next to Kristaps. So why might it not happen?
Well, in my personal opinion,
is
and
there
I don't
a
have
good,
any
is,
sources, but in my personal
sauces.
Opinion, Carlisle shows favoritism. He has done it in the past. We've seen it with players. He shows favoritism. If he likes you, you're going to get whatever you want. If he doesn't like you, you're gone.
If you work hard in practice.
If you work hard in practice and you give homeless people a blanket,
which is
you're the
great,
starting center
by
of the Mavericks.
Way. Dwight Powell.
I don't want to get into Dwight Powell's off the court accolades.
No, I just want to say, like, Dwight Powell is
a good
person.
Yes.
And that's something that I can separate. Like, when I say that he's not a good basketball player, he is a good person.
Okay.
He's a great person. But I don't think
he's
a good basketball player.
He's not.
Yeah.
But Carlisle loves Dorian, and he loves Dwight Powell. He is not putting both of those guys on the bench.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he doesn't love Maxey. I think he loves Maxey, too. But something about Powell and Dorian.
He just starts automatically.
He just loves them. Yeah. And so one of them is going to end up starting when really both of them need to be on the bench.
Between Dorian and Dwight
Dorian
Powell.
Dorian and Powell, neither one of them are starters in this league.
It's a weird lineup because you have Hardaway at the three. Or, I mean, I don't know, is Josh Richardson starting at the three?
No, it's Hardaway.
You basically, you have a three-guard lineup. Now, granted, Luka's a big guard, Josh, but they're all guards. You're starting that. I think Dorian is best suited at the three, but you can't play him there because who you're going to bench between Richardson and Hardaway.
What really matters is what they look on defense. On
true.
Defense,
okay.
Luka's the three. He's going to guard the worst wing player out there. And sometimes that's PJ
just
Tucker.
The worst player out
there. Yeah, yeah. And Josh Richardson plays the one on defense. Hardaway plays the two on defense. So now your four is going to be Dorian Finney-Smith. And he's just not strong enough to guard fours in the league. And he's not quick enough to guard ones.
Okay. I don't want to talk about Dwight Powell for 30 minutes. But here's another question. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Who is the best NBA? Which NBA player best fits that profile? It just, if you could take any NBA player who best fits that profile, who would you pick? Who do you think it would be?
Well, I think the Mavericks are lacking muscle on their front court with Porzingis and whoever they put there, whether it's Powell or Maxey or Dorian.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have enough strength. So muscle, toughness, big shot maker, can guard wings, can guard
a
bigs.
A versatile defender.
Unfortunately, the best player for that description is Marcus Morris.
You know who's actually the best player for that?
Mine was Marcus Morris. Who's your best player?
Sean Marion.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Marion, okay.
Sean Marion would be perfect on this team.
Perhaps.
No,
but
we're
talking about active players. We can't resurrect... Oh, he's not dead.
He's not dead.
But we can't resurrect his career and bring a young Sean Marion. As far as active players
Marcus Morris,
to me... I know. Everybody hates him in Mavs land. Luka hates him. He's Luka's son. I get all of that. But as far as what you're looking for, the toughness, the mental toughness...
The defense...
I think Marcus Morris would have been the best person to have next to Porzingis at that four. Realistically, that they could get, obviously, you know, if you could bring in Charles Barkley or, you know, Karl Malone.
I did mean active players.
And you know, obviously, Anthony Davis would be a great fit. I'm talking about reasonably they can get. Obviously, Giannis... They left that position open for Giannis.
I remember that was your theory.
That's the one hole they had,
and it was intentional because...
They were going to fill it with Giannis. Giannis was going to be their four, and they were going to go out there with the crazy lineup of of Giannis and Porzingis guarding the rim.
Yeah.
And nobody was ever going to be able to score.
No one would get inside the paint.
Yeah, so Giannis is ideally the best, but realistically, who they could have got with the money that they were willing to pay, Marcus Morris, I think, would have been the best
option. What if just any NBA player was available?
Well, Giannis.
Okay, well, but outside
outside of Giannis, I think Gordon Hayward is somebody you may look at. I don't know if he's got the toughness. Not Gordon Hayward.
Aaron Gordon for the Magic. Aaron Gordon, yeah.
He's got the size, he's got the strength, he's got the defense. He can shoot, he can roll, because that's super important in the Mavs system. I don't know if he's got the toughness that you're looking for.
Yeah, I do feel like his career trajectory has kind of sapped some of his confidence.
Well, perfect. Perfect guy for Carlisle.
And losing the dunk contest, which was rigged, by the way.
Well, perfect for Carlisle. He can resurrect his career because that's what he tends to do.
I think Aaron Gordon is also a good fit.
Yeah. And then obviously Anthony Davis would be a great fit because he can guard anybody. And having Anthony Davis and Porzingis protecting, and that's another thing with the Mavericks defense, why I think they're struggling on defense, is they only have one, with the way their defense is set up, they only have one real rim protector. There is no secondary help. And right now, with Powell, there's no help at all. There's nothing.
Yeah.
But with Porzingis, if he's on the other side of the court because of the way the defense is set up or the opposing team's offense, you don't have a secondary guy that can make a play when somebody drives it to the basket. Most teams have at least a secondary guy that can at least provide some resistance at the rim.
Yeah. What about also Draymond Green or...
Well, Draymond...
Or P.J. Tucker?
I mean, P.J. Tucker, okay. I mean, if you're talking a lesser Draymond, Draymond Green would also be a really nice fit with the Mavs. I think he'd fit perfectly with their system. You have the toughness, the crazy that you're looking for, the strength, the defensive player of the year, good rebounder, can guard wings or bigs. That would also be a really good one, but they're just not going to get him.
Yeah, P.J. Tucker he's 6'5". He might be too short.
He's too small, in my opinion, and he's too old. What about, this is going to be kind of out of nowhere, but since Giannis is gone and the Mavericks, apparently that's what their money was for Giannis, so they can spend it on something else. Maybe they go all in this year. What about Al Horford from Oklahoma City?
Yeah, well, I've said that I don't think they want his contract.
Well, now that Giannis is off the table...
And he's old.
Yes, but he provides veteran. He's got a lot of playoff experience. He's nice insurance.
He's 34. He's almost 35.
Yes, I understand how old he is, but he's nice insurance from if Porzingis goes down. He's a well-established big. He can shoot threes. He steps up in big games. He's a great defender, good passer. He's always been on a winning team. That's got to mean something.
Are you saying, like, to start next to Porzingis?
Why not?
Oh, because he's old?
Well, I get that, but he's miles even better.
Even though we just did a pod about how age doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's miles better than any of the other guy they have.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather have, like, Aaron Gordon kind of thing.
Well, yes, but yeah, these guys if aren't always available. Yeah. If your best option is Al Horford, it's either Al Horford or Dwight Powell. I think it's clear old Al Horford is a much better player than Dwight Powell.
Yeah, I guess also, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that one.
It's just an option because the Mavs clearly have an issue with their bigs.
Yeah.
Their four and their five position.
I don't know how I feel about it. Anyone listening, share what you think. If you think that's a good fit or if that kind of player is a good fit. Because I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so to wrap up this conversation, basically, who or what do you think the starting lineup should be? Who should be in that starting lineup with Kristaps healthy?
So I think it, I guess it goes back to, it just can't be Dorian or Dwight Powell.
Both? Like,
it can't be either
one. Or the, oh,
no,
neither one
I don't think either one of them are a good fit with Porzingis.
Okay.
And it's not because Dorian's not a good player. It's just, it's not a good fit with Porzingis at the five. I'm going to say I like having Maxey's firepower coming off the bench and playing with the bench unit. And I'm going to go back to saying it needs to be James Johnson as the starter. That doesn't mean he needs to close games, but he needs to be that DeShawn Stevenson type where he comes in, he starts, he sets the tone defensively and toughness.
Jason Terry.
And then Terry would finish the game, but in this case it may be Maxey that would finish the game with Porzingis. But you need a tone setter, and I think James Johnson can be that tone setter for 18 minutes a night to come in and start, set that mental toughness, the defensive toughness tone, and then Maxey needs to be the other guy playing with Porzingis.
So it would be Luka
Hardaway, Richardson, or Luka Richardson, Hardaway, James Johnson, and Kristaps.
You know, that's actually genius because what Mavs fans are talking about right now is that what you said, that they need Maxey's scoring off the bench, and Dwight Powell is too bad to come off the bench.
He's so good, he can't come off the bench.
He's so bad that he has to play with the starters since they can pick up the slack.
So they can make him good.
Yeah. So he's too bad to come off the bench. So because he has to play, well, he's got to start because he can't come off the bench. But let's just assume that he doesn't have to play. In that case, you can still keep Maxey off the bench, but start James Johnson.
And I can understand if you still want Dwight Powell to play some minutes, you can still have him come off the bench, but rotate the minutes to where he's still playing with Luka.
Yeah, I mean, you still need three bigs probably.
Yeah. So that way, when he is out there, even if he comes off the bench, he comes back, he goes in when Luka is coming back in or something. So you get him 15 minutes with Luka to maximize the three lob attempts that he's going to get in a game.
Yeah.
And then never play him again.
You know, that's genius. I really like that. I mean, I think next time
you can defend me on the YouTube comments, then.
I think you just cracked the code. You solved the problem because everyone was...
I should be coaching the team. It's ridiculous.
Because we were all like, but you can't have Powell off the bench because he won't do anything for that lineup. So he's got to start. It's like, no, you could start James Johnson. And he can, but is he versatile enough defensively?
Yeah, I don't think he's your answer at this position.
Right.
I think it's the best option you have on the team at this position. You want a tough, strong guy.
He was a 37% three-point shooter last year.
He can shoot the threes. He's actually a really good passer. If you go back to the James Johnson from Miami.
He averaged almost four assists.
Yes. He's a good passer. So I think offensively it won't hurt you. He's a good screen center. Now, I don't know if he can jump through three people and dunk it like the great Kapowell, but he can set a good screen. And he can provide some resistance to Anthony Davis or LeBron or Kawhi, because he's versatile defensively. Again, he's not the answer the Mavs need. He's not the hero they need right now.
But he's the one they deserve.
Yes.
Or something.
No, whatever. But obviously, Giannis was that answer.
Yeah.
So now they have to make do with what they have.
You know what? You're a genius. I think you're a genius. Here all week.
As you know. Yeah. We live together.
Okay. All right. So next topic. This just happened, or this just broke this evening. Mark Stein tweeted, Josh Richardson will become an unrestricted free agent next summer. He had a player option, so the Mavs obviously wanted to sign him to a contract extension, but they were not able to do that, so he'll become unrestricted. Initial thoughts, surprised, worried,
no,
anything?
Neither. I mean, it would be dumb for him to do that. He's probably going to have a career year. It'd be dumb for him to sign an extension if he wasn't, because he's probably going to have a career year here in Dallas. He probably recognizes that, so you might as well. And it's good for the Mavs, too, because then you're going to get really motivated.
Yeah.
Him and Tim Hardaway are going to be on top of their game.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So that's going to benefit them a lot. So, no, I think it makes sense for him, and I don't think it should worry the Mavs. Because if he has a great season and demands a lot of money, then that just means better for you, and you might as well just re-sign him. Of course they won't, but you never know.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I think you bring out a good point how he's going to have a good season. Going into free agency, I'm sure some teams had money saved up, and with Giannis and all these other guys kind of falling off the table, he might get a really big paycheck. Am I worried? I mean, yeah, I think... As worried as you should be when you have an unrestricted free agent on your roster, whenever he's probably their second or third best player. With Kristaps healthy, he's probably their second or third best player. So, I mean, yeah.
I would say I wouldn't go that high on the player ranking with him.
Oh, no, not second. Third or fourth best player.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
After Porzingis.
Luka and Porzingis. Yeah, sorry. Third or fourth best player. It's either him or Hardaway.
Yeah.
That's third.
Or Kapowell. You ask Carlisle.
Yeah. There's a chance that the Mavericks lose him in free agency, and that would suck. But I mean, I'm not surprised. Like, this is something that I think it was expected, and I hope they don't lose him, but it's kind of just part of it.
Yeah, I think Mavs have done a pretty good job with keeping their own free agents if they want them. Because it is a great place to play for, especially for a player like him. And Tim Hardaway, because you're going to get a lot of open threes and a lot of opportunities playing next to Luka and playing in this system that Carlisle runs.
And you're going to get to contend.
Yeah, so if the Mavericks wanted to keep him, I think they can keep him. But if they pull a Steve Nash where they don't want to give him that one final year and another team's willing to, then they're going to lose him.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, not unexpected.
I mean, the guy's only 26 or something. I think he's 26, 27 years old, so he's about to hit his prime. And if he has a great year, just pay the man. Like, what are you keeping the money for? Giannis is gone.
He's 27.
Yeah.
So, okay. That's the news on that. So, let's wrap up this episode with some game predictions. Until we do our next episode next Sunday, they have three games coming up. Opening at Phoenix, Christmas Day at Lakers, and then at Clippers.
This has got to be the toughest opening three games in Mavs history.
In NBA history.
I mean, seriously, I've never seen opening a three-game lineup on the road like this, which is only the second time in like the last 20. I don't remember what the stat was.
For the Mavs?
For the Mavs. Okay. It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And for it to be a much better Phoenix team, and the Mavs struggled with Phoenix, period.
Yeah, they did.
They did. So, a much better Phoenix team.
The Lakers, obviously, who got better somehow.
And the Clippers.
And
so,
the Clippers, yeah.
The Mavs would be...
And the Clippers with Paul George, who has his same trainer from his MVP season. Mm. That season he won.
Oh, the one he
won
MVP?
The one he won MVP. He's got
that
trainer back. Yeah,
I forgot about... What year did he win?
You know, I kept Googling it, and I just couldn't find it.
They might have forgot.
Yeah.
Okay. as long as they don't start the season 0-3. Yeah. I think that's a win.
Yeah.
Just get one out of these three. I mean, I'm not saying they're not as good as these teams, but it's really hard to go on the road in any team, but especially when they're really, really good, a home opener for one team.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, let's be real. I think the Lakers and Clippers are going to finish with a higher seed with a better record than the Mavs. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that the Mavericks suck. I'm just saying I automatically think the Lakers and Clippers are better than the Mavericks. So,
I would say the Mavericks can beat the Suns, because the reason why the Suns gave us so much issues were they were a defensive nightmare for us, because we had nobody for Devin Booker. And with Josh Richardson, hopefully that provides some resistance there. Mm-hmm. Let's hope Chris Paul falls off the cliff and he turns into Cliff Paul.
Yeah.
But Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard are just matchup nightmares for the Mavericks, and especially LeBron, if we're going to start.
I mean, who's going to guard LeBron?
Yeah, especially if we're going to start Capowell.
Well, and starting without Kristaps.
Yeah.
I mean, with him, this would be hard enough, but without him,
With him, without him, with him, without him.
So I'm going to say, I want to say 2-1, but...
Oh, 1-2 would be great.
I wouldn't be surprised by 1-2. And again,
I wouldn't be surprised at 0-3.
Yeah, I'm hoping that doesn't happen. And I'm not saying I don't have any faith in them. I'm not trying to trash the roster. This doesn't have anything to do with my thoughts on free agency and all that crap.
It's just a tough schedule.
Yeah, it's just a tough schedule.
What did free agency have to do with this?
Well, you know, if I let my feelings on free agency roll into...
You think they're going to lose every
cynical
game of the season?
Yeah, and I don't feel that way. I hate their free agency plan, but I am generally positive about the season.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I would say 1-2.
1-2, but if they go 0-3, it's not the end of the world.
Okay, Christmas Day, though, what do you think is going to happen there, Lakers, Mavs?
Well, obviously, I'd love the Mavericks to win, but...
Do you expect a big game from Luka? Are we at the point where... Luka
in big games
we don't have to worry about...
Yes.
Okay.
It wasn't like Monte, who... I love Monte. Don't kill me. I love
or
Monte.
Or Chandler Parsons.
But in big games, Monte... not and I know people are... Well, what about the playoffs? Against
playoffs?
San Antonio is different than when you're going against Golden State.
Yeah.
And back then, Golden State was great.
Yeah.
Monte struggled against the high market teams.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Luka is not that kind of player.
No, he's going to show up.
So he's going to show up. Okay, so we're predicting 1-2. Let us know your predictions on YouTube or on Twitter. I'm @_SydneyMyers. That's all I have for this episode. We'll, check back in a week and see how the Mavs did and where they're at. I don't think that if they start poorly with these three games, I don't think that says too much about their season. It's just a really tough opening. Okay, so that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Remember, we're on YouTube. Dallas Hoops Cast is the channel. The website is DallasHoopsCast.com. I'm @_SydneyMyers.
The moment we said thanks, they ended.
Is there anything else you want to add?
This is just for you and me.
Do you want to say anything?
No
one's listening.
Yes.
You can say whatever. We should give a shout out to our sponsor, Manscaped.
One, we don't have a sponsor. Two, of all the ones that you could randomly come up
with. Well, I got an email from Manscaped today.
Oh,
they wanted to do it. But we don't have...
So you just did a free one.
Well, we don't have ads on this show, so I haven't responded to
it
yet.
Are we actually now just talking to each other?
Oh, yeah. Was there something you wanted to say?
No.
Oh, okay. The way you said that was you wanted to say something.
I don't want to continue to have a conversation with the headset on and the microphone.
I'm sorry. Thank you guys for listening. Go check out Manscaped.
They already stopped listening.
Free spot for you
we
guys.
We just went 3 minutes after they've listened.
Okay.
They ended.
I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.